everybody out there. Thanks for listening to Fandemic. This is a podcast by fish fans for fish fans to help us all throughout COVID-19 and beyond. I'm Caitlin Capuchillin, and I'm here with my dear friend and co-host, Chris Roy. Chris and I are experiencing opposite realities these days. I've been working from home for the past 5 weeks, sheltering in place with 3 kids.
And I've been working in a grocery store on the front lines, experiencing a very different reality.
Oh, man, last night I was scrolling through photos from some amazing shows from the past year. It seems like a lifetime away, but we'll get back there soon. Tonight, we'll be talking with Joshua Hantman and Dwayne Boyd.
First up, we'd like to welcome Joshua Hantman, who is an incredible chef and a student navigating through these crazy times. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Josh.
And Chris, how was your work day?
I did work today, but it was a little bit better. People are getting the social distancing a little bit better around me, which is good. Wednesday when I left, I was wound up like a top. Like if you just pulled the string, I was flying off. But the 2 days off in a row were necessary and helpful, and we just keep doing what we're doing. People are kind of calming down a little bit. They've got what they need, which I think is good. And I think a lot of people are realizing they have a whole bunch more in their cabinets than they thought they had. And they're learning how to cook, and that's a good thing with all of this. And people are kind of calming down a little bit. It's not so panicked as it was.
Yeah, I mean, I would say with everybody at home right now, and the fact that, you know, everybody has bombarded the supermarkets heavily for the last 2 weeks, at least where I am, everybody's really bombarded the supermarkets to hell. But the great thing about that is people are buying a lot of food, and people are learning to cook. People that order out all the time and are just so crazy busy, they have time at home now, and you know, they're cooking. People with kids, I know a lot of people with kids that have been getting the kids involved in that, which, you know, if you have kids, that's a really great way to actually get them to eat the food. They don't always, you know, kids are like, oh, I don't want vegetables, or I don't want this, you know, I just want some French fries. But if you let them wash the food, maybe, you know, stand by you while you're cutting them, you know, mix things in the bowls. If you got something on the stove, you could give them a little chair and just let them stir. When they get involved like that, they tend to want to eat it because they cooked it. And I see a lot of people doing that right now. I think that's really great. I think it's really something that's been missing for a lot of people. And I think with everybody kind of stuck at home, a lot of people are realizing that there's all this precious time that is spent, you know, working or doing other things, and you kind of neglect, you know, the people closest to you and your family and the people at home. And right now everybody's stuck at home together. And I know some people are bored, but, you know, people are playing card games. People are cooking together. People are doing chat sessions together online with family members and whatever. And I feel like really a lot of people are getting closer to their core family units or their core unit of friends, you know, kind of like what we're doing here. And I think that's amazing and it's great. I know this seems like a horrible time, but there is some really good stuff coming out of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think all three of us are foodies for sure. I've been making tamari eggs. Have you guys ever tried
those? I've seen your post of tamari eggs.
Tamari eggs?
It's I'll post the recipe in the links. It's like an umami bomb. You guys know that word, umami, of course.
Yep, of course.
And the secret is to cook them for just like under 7 minutes so that the yolk is still delicious. And then you just marinate them in tamari, ginger, mirin, and like little garlic and a couple scallions if you've got those on hand overnight. You take them out in the morning and they are like, they're delicious. It's like a protein hit that is so good. Even the kids.
That's pretty much what I eat. Or shakshuka, which I love. So basically it's sort of like onions and peppers, and tomatoes all kind of sauteed together like a really, really thick sauce. And then when it gets, you know, you season it up with all kinds of stuff, little cumin, little pepper, and then you crack, once you get it like nice and going and like really thick,
crack an egg over it,
crack eggs on top of it. And then you put a cover on top of it and the eggs poach just right on top of the tomato stuff. And then I usually take a couple pitas and I'll put them in the oven, toast them up a little bit, take them out, cut them in half, and take the top off. And then you just take like a scoop and scoop out like one or two eggs with the tomato stuff, put it in a bowl, dip the pitas in it. It's like full protein, all veggie, beautiful breakfast. If anybody wants to know how to make something or needs a recipe, you can get in touch with me through Caitlin or Chris, and I will give you a recipe for anything you want. Doesn't matter. I can make anything. So if you need anything, I am always available.
Fantastic. Thank you.
When we were talking about what song you wanted to play and the Billy Breeze from 11/22/97 from the Mothership in Hampton came up.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many fish shows I've been to, I guess 136 or something like that. And that is by far my favorite fish show that I've ever been to or experienced. And I love Billy Breeze. And I really don't play it much anymore. And it's absolutely beautiful. And then when Trey went into the explanation during his move Between Me and My Mind, when he goes back to his old house and he tells them the story about the song, I was just like, oh my God, that's what that's about. Amazing. I love it. And I loved it anyway. I've always loved it. But at that show, for a second, you could slow down and just take it all in. And it was like, it was just such a moment of, do you know what I mean? Cause like they come out of the gate with the mics, Hydrogen, Weekapa, Hood.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, boom, right off the bat.
It's that collective breath of the audience that everyone gets to take. And
yeah. And that moment, and you're just, I mean, it brings it in and you kind of just feel it. And that's what you get, that heart full of fish, if you will. You got to listen to it.
There's nothing like a heart full of fish. Well, we're going to listen. Let's play it right now, kids.
Okay.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
Tumble greens, a pickup screams, alone above the square. Oh, sing softly. Above the trees, where Billy breeds, we float upon the air. Whoa, whoa. Soft, sweet, 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 sweet song. And motion means I'll wake you when we're there. Whoa, sing softly. Time it seems and broken dreams to sleep beside the stairs. Whoa. Softly sing sweet song.
Dwayne Boyd has been sharing his poems on the Silver Lining Facebook groups recently, and we are just so happy to have him here and so happy to hear some more of his amazing stories that he has to share with us.
Hey, Dwayne, you have that story from The Great Went?
I will follow this band until I'm in the ground because of that.
It gives me chills.
Yeah. The summary of that was just a total happenstance of, or a comedy of errors. Where I traveled with my fiance to The Great Went from the Darren Lake Ken Kesey show. And we had totally lost all our caravan friends because it was before the age of cell phones and texting. And we got to the camping area and figured, okay, what are we in for? And it was a 3-hour walk from our tent to the stage. And I don't know, about maybe, an hour and a half in, because of course, you know, you're walking around at a fish show, you never go straight to your destination. We were just checking all the freaks in the aquarium out. And I happened across a woman by the name of Beth Montori on a golf cart. She was kind enough to take me down near one of the displays. And basically, we chatted a little bit. And then she left me off. And I said to her as we were leaving, is there any chance at all you could pick us up when this thing's over tonight? And she's, there's 60,000 people here. I don't really think, the odds are going to be too good that we'll see each other again, because it's going to be busy. She said, just find somebody, one of the mounted police or somebody from security, and see what they can do for you. So, we enjoyed ourselves for the first show, had an excellent time, and then we're like, okay, it's dark and you need to walk 3 hours. It's like, all right, this is just not happening. So we're walking out of the show, and I found a policeman on a horse, just like Beth told me to. And I said, hey, is there any way you can flag down a golf cart? I need to get back to my tent, because of course Fish does a really good job, or they always have, of trying to consider the disabled, but I don't always consider myself disabled, and sometimes that's stupid. And this was one of those moments. But they were able to flag down a golf cart, and lo and behold, the driver was none other than the fuzzy Russian hat wearing John Fishman.
Yes.
Yay.
And of course he was.
Yeah.
I love this story.
So he totally rescued myself and my fiance and drove us back to our camping area. And through the whole entire time, he was one of the most humble guys in the history of the planet. He was talking to me like we've known each other our whole lives, which was blowing me away. Because I was trying not to fanboy out and lose it.
I can't even imagine.
My fiance was like half asleep. She didn't even realize that she was on my lap, and I was literally 2 feet from Fishman, and he had a couple people on the back. One of the people was, I believe, was Briar. And we were bombing through the field, and just like he got us back to the tent, and I pitched it to him. I said, hey, John, did a great job playing tonight, had a blast. Any chance you can pick me up for tomorrow's show? And he literally was like, let me see what I'm doing. Like, what time does it say on the ticket? I totally took that as like, okay, that's the blow.
Yeah.
That's where I'm all done, because he's like busiest guy on the planet. Well, what was funny?
Let me see what I'm doing. What time do I play tomorrow?
What was funny about it was he was joking around with me, saying that he used to get paid $4.25 an hour to drive the van, so he was used to that, carting stuff around. And I just was like, well, the ticket says you guys go on at 4. And he says, well, I ought to be up by then.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll be back to get you. And I literally like dove off the golf cart and like boogied from my buddy's truck. He was spending some quality time with his lady.
He's only the drummer.
Slamming the window. He's like, dude, did you just see who we got a ride back from? It's my friend Corey. And he's like, no, who'd you get a ride back from? I'm like, Fishman, dude, look. And he's like, no, you're full of shit. And I was like, tomorrow, wait and see. He's coming to pick me back up. And both Corey and Crystal were like, dude, that's a load of horseshit. Like, you're like out of your skull. I said, no, Fishman's coming to pick me up tomorrow. And lo and behold, about 1 o'clock, he comes rolling up in a rental car with his dad. So I'm hanging out with Len. And, you know, Len's got his little fish hat on. He's driving the rental car. And John's in the front seat. He gets out, grabs my backpack, throws myself and Karen in the back, and, like, started to drive us to the backstage compound. It was unbelievable. And he just totally was like, you're with me today. He totally put his rock star status on the shelf, and he was just a guy helping another guy out.
And Dwayne, you were on the stage for the Went Gin, correct?
Yes. Well, I was in fact on stage for that. And I actually got to see why rock stars love being rock stars. It was incredible to watch them paint the art piece. It was incredible to watch the glow stick war. The glow stick war was something, yeah.
From the stage. Oh, my God. Did you get hit with any glow sticks?
I was up high. I was way up on the scaffolding, and I believe at that point of the night I was over Fishman, because we started out page side. During the day we actually got to see them practice behind the stage with the paint cans, and we're like, what the hell is going on with that? You know, like, they're painting with, like, neon spray paint. I'm like, yeah, I looked at Karen and...
What are they doing?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He basically, when we got to the backstage compound, he said, wait a minute, I'll be right back. Disappeared. And then when he reappeared, he gave... he put a laminate around Karen's neck. And he said, with this... said, you are as powerful as me. You can go anywhere in this place except for the food tent. Like, he's like, you can't get a meal. He's like, he's like, but if you need to go out and get food, you can go out and come back. Yeah. So we totally had run of the backstage compound. So I lived there. The second day of the went, the only thing I did was I like went out to get a souvenir from my mom, because I was like, I'm never going to forget this. I'm going to make sure she never forgets it. In fact, the souvenir is on my desk right now. It's little drummer cats around a votive candle. I think the guy that made its name was Juan, if I remember correctly. I think I have his last name in the actual text of the story, but I can't remember it out of my addled brain at the moment. But
it's a beautiful story, yeah, Dwayne. It's really, really great. And
thank you.
And it's good. And it's good when you tell it, and then you're a really good writer. And to read it, I encourage everyone to go to The Fish Companion Volume 2, where you can read the full thing in print.
That's the seriously condensed version.
Oh, okay.
They distilled, the original version was 26 pages, double space.
In Companion 1? Fish Companion?
No. The original version was literally just my own, tour journal stuff that I wrote. Okay. Because I'm like, I literally don't. I mean, you guys know me pretty well. I don't like to get spun at shows.
Yeah.
So I like to try to remember, and that's why. Because if I decide to write it down, I want something authentic and not like totally effed up.
Yep.
And so I wrote 26 pages, most of it to the chagrin of my boss, between tech support calls at work. Oh. And then when I wrote it, I was, of course, I was shy about it, but I wanted to brag as well. So I showed it to a very few people in the beginning. And one guy that I showed it to, he's like, my wife's an editor. I said, well, show it to your wife because I need to get this thing tight. I'm gonna try to get it published. And I said, I don't know where yet. And I actually, the first person I pitched it to was Jefferson Waffle from Relics.
Cool.
And he was like, dude, this is an amazing story, but it's way too long. He's like, it's way, way too long.
It's your journal. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah. So the next person I pitched it to was Beth. And Beth was like, not really sure where this could go, but like, I said to her, I was going to share it with you anyway because you're in it.
Yeah.
So is there any way you can get it to John for me? And she said, absolutely. And then I saw the call to arms, if you will, for the Fish Companion. And I was like, that's where it's going.
Yeah. Perfect.
I pitched it to the Companion, and everybody at the Companion just went ballistic. But when they wanted the final draft, this was back in the age of floppy disks.
Oh.
I lost the disk.
No, 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 no.
And
no.
I was heartbroken.
No.
But, guys, check this one out.
Okay.
Check this out. I literally reached out to Beth. Was like, you know, I feel like a total heel here, but... Do you remember that story I sent you about when we met at the Went? She's like, oh, yeah, I have it on my hard drive. You want it?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
She literally had it.
Oh.
She's like, here you go.
And she emailed it back to me, and I shit a little green apple. It was it was amazing. I'm like, wow, somebody cares.
Course.
Somebody kept it.
It's a really good story.
Yeah. It's a great fucking amazing. Story. Like, that's a great story. Gorgeous.
It's beautiful. So yeah, Dwayne, you get to pick a song to play. Also, I want you to read a poem or two.
Okay.
But hang on. So like, what is the song? And there's no rush about that. I'm going to edit it. Like, don't worry. Anything is.
Well, you know what? I've been letting this kind of marinate in my head since we were getting together for this project. And I don't know if you can put it together from Fish Tracks, but one of the things that really blew my mind, and it still blows my mind to this day, is from 12/29/95, Worcester Centrum, the bathtub gin or Real Me bathtub gin back into Real Me.
Wow.
I had a fucking out of body experience. I literally, like, my friends had no idea what the hell was going on with me. I literally left my body and returned.
Wow.
It was insane.
I think we've all been there. That's amazing.
And Worcester shows.
Worcester shows.
Like,
once again,
how can you go wrong?
That's a common theme in this pandemic already.
It's one of my favorite shows ever because that's also the night that Mike played the theme to Masterpiece Theater with his bass instructor.
Oh, my God.
And,
I forgot all about
and
that.
And there was a big black furry creatures. And that scared the living shit out of me.
Yes, that could be so scary. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Comes out of nowhere.
But that whole show, like, it was my third show ever. And I was like, I fucking love this band. I fucking love them.
Yeah. I fucking love them too.
And thus more than half your life devoted to them.
As many of us are. And yeah, I think you should read your poem right now.
Okay.
If you're ready.
All right. Yeah, I can do it. It's called I Raise. I Raise. In the midst of it all, I wonder. What is the part I play? Where does my path lead? How does my story read? Have I witnessed the dawning of a new day? When all is quiet, these questions spin, seemingly disappear, then they come around again. I don't know the answers. As the sun sets and darkness crawls across the land, I raise my eyes up to the skies, only to discover the light from stars.
Wow. That's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Basically, I started writing again because I've been being pushed by friends for quite some time, but there's something about being isolated that made me feel like it had to come out. And I've been talking to some people thanks to Jilly's Silver Lining Group.
Mm.
And I've just been getting positive pressure from great places. And I've been almost doing a poem a day. And this is one that I posted in the group.
It's beautiful, Duane. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really
Duane, can I tell you something real quick?
Sure, man.
I'm staring at the wall. And on my wall is the Pollock poster from Holmdale. I don't remember what year, but it was the first time they did No Quarter.
Oh, my
God. As you're doing your poem and I'm staring at it, I can hear pages opening, you know, like to No Quarter as you were speaking. And they kind of like they were going together for me. And I was just, I'm sitting here blown away. I mean, honestly, like just blown away by your words. And it mixed with some reason in my head, the song came in because I'm staring at the poster. That show was great. Thought I would tell you that.
Well, thank you for sharing that because,
Zeppelin,
above all, is my favorite band. Most people think I'm like a total fish head, but I've been collecting
Total Zeppelin. White rabbit moment.
I've been collecting Zeppelin since I was 12. And for you to equate my writing with No Quarter, man, I think I'm going to cry.
I was literally listening to No Quarter today from 10/26/13. That's just this. All this is just crazy. That's like No Quarter all over the place. All
right. Can we do No Quarter from Raleigh, August 14th, 2015?
We can absolutely do that, and I think it's a great idea.
Perfect.
Yes.
Bright and blue. I carry walking side by side with death. The devil mocks their every step. The snow drives back the foot that's slow. The dogs of doom are howling more.
A national hero at this point.
Oh, you totally are.
They better do a fucking duck boat parade.
I'm just coming to work. I'm getting my paycheck.
Duck boat parade. Duck boat parade.
Oh, grocery store workers. If we make it out of this.
It's not an if, it's a when.
Right.
You know, like you said, this isn't all like hearts and flowers. But there's always light.
There's always light.